Welcome to the Women's Ministry Toolbox Podcast. I'm Cindy Owenby. I'm a seasoned women's ministry leader, the founder of Women's Ministry Toolbox, and the author of Rethinking Women's Ministry. This is the place where women serving on the women's ministry team in their local church find hope and inspiration for building a flourishing, Christ-focused women's ministry. Ladies, I am so excited to introduce to you today Angela Volker. She is a women's ministry leader that I have actually had the pleasure and opportunity of meeting in person when I spoke at their church. Y'all are going to love this conversation. You're going to enjoy getting to know Angela. Welcome, Angela. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about the church that you serve in?
Well, I am at a Baptist church in Chestertown, Maryland. It's called Chestertown Baptist Church. It is a pretty small church. I'd say we are about 185 to 200 members. It's an independent Baptist church. It is filled with wonderful, wonderful people who I absolutely love and adore.
I love that. Tell us, what role is it that you serve in?
Right now, I am the director of women's ministry at the church, and I basically facilitate all of the events that go on behind the scenes for anything that has to do with women's ministry. Baby showers, bridal showers, breakfasts, paint nights, all the things that we do.
Do you have a team that serves alongside you?
When I first started, there was actually not a women's ministry team or a women's ministry necessarily. What they had was more like a hospitality group. It's a long drawn out story, but when I got there, there wasn't a whole lot of activity specifically for women. When I stepped into that role, I kind of went around and just took my time, got to know people, see who giftings were, ministering to others, encouraging, whatever it was. So basically, I went around and waited about a year, and then I handpicked my team. So I have, including myself, there's 7 people on our ministry team.
I like that you handpicked your team and you looked to see what their spiritual gifts were first. Do your team members have specific roles, each one of them, or how do you guys operate?
Generally, what we do is we have a meeting every couple of months. And when I first started doing this and I got everybody together, I asked everybody what they thought their role would be or should be or what they wanted it to be. Because I think when you put people in positions and they don't feel confident or comfortable, they're probably not going to flourish. So I asked them first what they wanted to do. And then I said, well, this is where I see you. This is what I think that you would be good at because this, this, and this. And I would give specific examples of why I thought they were good. For instance, Jeannie and Pam are both like Martha Stewart when it comes to decor. They can make anything. They're crafty. So obviously they handle the decor and decoration when we do any kind of women's event with within the church, in the fellowship hall or wherever it is. And then there was another woman who is really good with internet thing. So I asked her if she would be willing to do advertising, media, things like that. But I just kind of went around and not really assigned things because I didn't really want to pigeonhole people into specific roles. I just asked them what they thought they were good at, gave them examples of what I thought, and we just kind of met in the middle. And that's kind of what we do. Most of the time we stick to our roles, as it were. But sometimes people pick up the slack and do different things. So it really just depends on the event.
All right. That's great. That's helpful for other leaders to hear for sure. Does your team have a mission statement?
You know what? It's funny you asked that because at our last meeting last month, we were talking about that specific thing because we don't have a mission statement. We gave ourselves a name. So instead of calling ourselves the Women's Ministry Team, we came up with ideas. We voted on it. So we are called the Hands and Hearts of Christ. I think what we're going to be doing actually this Saturday is developing our mission statement and having that on all of the things that we're doing from now on. So I had asked all the women to be thinking about that and praying about that and kind of pray through that and try to come up with some things so that we can sort of hash that out at our meeting. And the reason why is I think it's important so that everybody knows kind of what direction we're going in and that we're all sort of pointing at the same goal.
I love that. If y'all have been around here for a while, you know I'm a big fan of mission statements, and they're a great plumb line when women bring ideas to you and they're like, hey, can we do X, Y, or Z? And when it clearly doesn't fit your mission statement, it's a little bit easier to say to them, how would this fit in with the mission of our women's ministry group? And maybe they're able to bring it around so it does fit in a little bit better. And sometimes it just makes it a little easier to say no, to be honest. You hinted that it's a long, drawn out story, so you don't have to give us all the details, but I would like to hear what your journey into women's ministry was like.
I have been a Christian since I was 31. I've been at three churches. I was really, really involved in the first church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was not really involved in women's ministry other than attending all the women's events at that church. And as I got to know the Lord and got to be more in tune with what His will was and what He wanted, He moved us after 8 years from that church where I served as a Sunday school teacher. But that was kind of how I got my feet wet, was in like teaching Bible studies and things like that. And then I also got really involved in Operation Christmas Child. So that's kind of where it started. Then when I moved to the next church, there were already women in the role of ministry leader, ministry team. So I kind of would just get plugged in wherever I could. And most of the time, honestly, I was just behind the scenes. I was cleaning up, I was picking up trash, I was playing with people in the corner. It was just sort of a non-involved role, but I was involved. Then after several years, actually COVID happened, of course, and the church I was attending shut down. And then they started doing online church, and I did not want to do online church. So in that whole time frame, though, I'm going to have to say, this is why it's a convoluted story. We moved twice in those 10 years. So after we moved, we were in Chestertown, but we were still attending church a couple towns over. Then, as it happened, COVID happened. My husband lost his job. We had to sell our house in Chestertown. So we actually had to move farther away from the church. And now I say all that because during this time, I knew about Chestertown Baptist Church. I knew people that went there. I had heard things about it. I almost sent my children to their school because we do have a ministry that's a school. I kept hearing from God, just go to CBC, go to CBC. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving another church. I'm not moving churches again. And then after COVID happened, the church shut down. There was a pastor that was at Chestertown Baptist, and his name was Shane, and he was making videos on Facebook all the time, and I kept seeing him. And the Lord just kept saying to me, go to this church. Just go to this church. Stop watching church on TV. This church is open. So I went. And obviously, the rest is history because that's where we've been. However, when I went there the very first time, now, mind you, we had moved. Now we lived almost an hour away from our church that was only doing online church, which I understand why they were, because it was a very small church, and the government said nobody can go to church. I'm not saying anything bad about that church. I certainly would never do that. I love them, and they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And but it was, now it's an hour away from our house. The church isn't open. The church in Chestertown is 15 minutes from our house. But what the Lord really put on my heart was serving in my own community. How am I going to reach and serve people that are an hour away? Now, is it impossible? Of course not. But I knew that God was calling me to this church. And I finally, after arguing with God for about a year, I said, okay, we'll go. And so I went. And I'm telling you, the first day I walked in there, I felt like I was home. I felt loved and welcomed. And then I just kind of got plugged in. So I kind of just sat back for a while, and that's when Shane and I became friends, and Shane and I started talking, and he asked me if I'd be interested in women's ministry and what did I like to do, and the rest was just kind of history. I literally took a leap of faith because I really felt like the Lord was telling me to do this. And I didn't want to at first because I was afraid. And of course, you don't, it's not something I'd ever done. I'd been involved with ministries and involved doing things, and I wasn't, afraid of speaking or afraid of people. It's just, you know, when God tells you to do something and you're not really sure if it's really God or if it's you or if you're just trying to, you know, make things happen that aren't supposed to. And so I just waited and waited on the Lord. And then when they came to me and asked me, would I be willing to do it? I said, yes, absolutely. And that's been 3.5 years.
I love that. Yes, you are not alone. COVID has shaken a lot of people and moved a lot of people around, for sure. I am an example of that as well. But I love that you were seeking where he wanted you to go. And he was dripping all these little hints and just waiting for you to pay attention to the direction and the path that he was leading you. And I have to say, you do an awesome job because I have seen firsthand what your women's ministry team is like and your church and your ladies there, and you are doing a great job. So I am so thankful that you were
Thank
obedient and that you listened to him and that you did take that, like you said, it was a leap of faith. It wasn't something that you'd done before that you were necessarily feeling completely equipped to do. But I think that's one of the sweetest things is when we know it's not us, when we can't do it on our own, then we know it's the Lord. There's such beauty in that and such just freedom in knowing that it's not up to me. It's not up to me. It's up to God. So let's pivot just a little bit and let's talk about your women's ministry events and activities. I'd love to know, is there maybe one specific event or activity that's been really successful in your church that you can tell us about?
Yes, I don't want to sit here and be like arrogant. Oh, well, they're all really good and this, that, and the other. But to be honest, they're very well thought out. When our team gets together and we talk about what we want to do, we talk about why do we want to do it. And a lot of that I learned from your podcast and your resources, having to be very intentional about what we do. In the beginning, I was just trying to get women together. So, what were we doing? Paint night, kind of like the things that everybody in the church does. They do a breakfast, they do this, they do that. And I was very, very in tune with why are we doing this? Because intentionality matters. And doing things just for the sake of doing them, you know, is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting together with other women. So what we did is we sat down and we said, okay, we want to do outreaches to the community. We want to do in-house things for our women to help strengthen and grow them, et cetera. We were pretty intentional this past year about what we wanted to do. And as it happens, I'm glad you asked me this because we just had our quarterly women's breakfast this past Saturday. And I would have to say, other than our conference, which we did that you spoke at, this breakfast that we just did was probably, I don't want to say successful. I just don't like that word when it comes to church, but when it comes to meaning and how it impacted other people, we had a lady who is, I call her our hometown hero. Her name is Miriam. She is a woman that I met several months ago. She actually catered one of our breakfasts. And we started talking. She explained to me her testimony a little bit, and I was floored. She was a devout Shiite Muslim, and she converted to Christianity. And she came this past Saturday, I'm going to cry, and gave her testimony of her whole life story. It was about an hour, and it was powerful. It was moving. I wish I had recorded it now, because when I tell you there were other women, and there were women and young women at this breakfast who probably don't know the Lord. Now, I don't know anyone's heart, and I'm not second guessing anyone, but just from things that I've been told and, you know, things that I've observed, there was not a dry eye in the room. Her story was poignant. It was heartfelt. It pointed to Christ. Everything she said was just so moving. We were all blown away. And when she had told me, and I can share this because she shares this publicly, she went through a suicide attempt. She was in an abusive marriage. I mean, she was beaten daily by her husband. She told this story how God wove all of this stuff together from the time she was a little child, you know, up until obviously today. And watching how God did that, I would have to say, if you want to call it a successful event or a meaningful event, I would have to say, out of all the things we've done, that was probably one of the top three things in the last 3.5 years where I've really seen the Spirit of God move on these women and watch them just be in awe of what God does and how He works in somebody's life. And especially where we are in our culture right now with Israel and Palestine and the Muslims and Islam and all of the things that you're hearing in the news. It was so timely about how to love people that don't know Jesus. So for me, that was like the pinnacle of the year.
Wow, that's amazing. I was thinking about that as you were sharing that the timing of this was amazing, clearly, in only a way that God could do it.
Only God.
That's
That's what
wow.
it just blew my mind. And when I heard her whole story, I was just in awe. God literally reaches down from his throne and plucks us out of our lives. It was just amazing. The story was amazing.
Planning women's ministry events that attract women of all ages, encourage community, and focus on our faith is a challenge. There are so many things you could do. How do you decide what to do? Well, Rethinking Fellowships helps leaders break through the overwhelm of event ideas. Learn how to select the best ideas for the women in your church. You'll learn how to determine which types of fellowship events your ministry needs. How to create an effective framework for women's ministry fellowships and meetings, and how to select door prizes, decor, and devotionals that point women to Christ. And there's an entire section with hundreds of event ideas. Rethinking Fellowship, a handbook for hosting meaningful women's ministry events, is the resource you and your team need. It's available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. Pick up your copy today. What is your discipleship approach for women's ministry? Is your focus primarily Bible studies? What does it look like?
I strongly believe in discipleship. Why? Well, because the gospel needs to go forth. The gospel cannot go forth if we don't have disciples, and we can't have disciples if we're not making them. So I have tried repeatedly to get some of the older women to join me in discipling, and their heart is in it. They definitely have the knowledge. What I'm finding is they don't have the confidence to be able to reach out to a younger woman and say, "Let me come alongside you and help you." Now, I say that, but I will say this. We have prayer chains that are in our church that the women started. I think we have three right now, three prayer chains, and there's a whole bunch of different women in all of these prayer chains on Facebook Messenger. We are all in constant communication daily. We are encouraging one another. We are sharing Bible verses, sharing our hearts, sharing prayer requests, sharing praises. So for right now, if that's what we can do to kind of come alongside each other, that's kind of the extent of it. Although I will say this, there are a couple of us that have taken some younger women under our tutelage, as it were, and we are discipling them. I, for one, do that. I have a book that I use. It's a discipleship book. And what I will do is sit down with women once a week. We go through the book together. We pray together. I connect with them during the week. I'm on discipling, I think, the third or fourth woman right now this year. And I know that there's a couple of other ladies sporadically throughout the church that are doing that. Is it a main thrust and focus right now? No, it has not been, I'm going to be honest. And I think probably because it's just, I'm discouraged, I guess, a little bit, because when I've asked people if they'd be willing to come alongside and do that and be willing and able and ready, I've gotten a lot of no's. It's no, I don't feel I'm equipped to do it. So I think in a lot of churches, that is just something that gets put on the back burner. Unfortunately, I have to be honest, had I not been discipled by someone, and I'm embarrassed to say when I first came to Christ, she had to pursue me And I mean, send me cards, call me on the phone, send me emails, ask me for coffee. And I would just blow it off. And, you know, I don't need this. I can figure this stuff out myself, et cetera, et cetera. However, I would not be where I am today had I not gotten one-on-one, down and dirty, open your heart and soul up kind of discipleship and learned who Christ is, why he came, and why it's so important. That was a loaded question. That's kind of been on my heart for a long time, is how to make that more of a focus and a priority in our fellowship. I know it's happening like sort of spontaneously, but I don't think that it's been like a direct focus. And honestly, I've talked with the pastoral staff. We know that that is something that we need to work on.
I appreciate your honesty with that. It can be really easy for us to just, you know, make plans and do all the things and try to implement stuff, but it's hard. It doesn't always come together the way that we want it to. It's all part of God's timing. Like he is planting the seeds right now with those that you are discipling. And eventually, Lord willing, you will get there where it's more of, whether it's organized or it's just more women that are involved or more women that are feeling confident that they can do this, that they can disciple someone else. It takes time. It absolutely takes time. So you are not alone in struggling with this. And I love you're not, I promise. All the leaders are like, oh,
I
my
know,
goodness.
I know.
Me too, me too, me too. But I also like that you shared the impact it had on you when you were a young Christian and what a difference it made. I know there are leaders listening right now that needed to hear your testimony about that, to hear that it made a difference with you. And maybe God will use that to encourage them to make a difference in the life of somebody in their church. So thank you for sharing.
Yes. And I would also like to add, you know, even if you are pursuing someone and you really feel like the Lord is telling you, you know, go to this person, offer your services of discipleship, whatever, however you want to word that, you know, I'd like to mentor you. I'd like to walk with you. I'd like to help you. And they say, no, 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 no. Or they're just apathetic and they don't really seem that interested. But I promise you, if they are truly looking for Christ, they want it, they need it. They just don't know how to ask and they don't really understand what it means to be discipled or to disciple someone else. I think that word scares people.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think they shy away from it. So my encouragement to the other leaders is encourage your team, encourage the women in your church, keep reaching out to those people. And I'll tell you a quick story. There's a young gal in my church. She's been there about 2 years. And the Lord told me that I needed to disciple her. He told me that I needed to. So I've reached out to her, not really getting much response. You know, when she needed some prayer, she would reach out to me and I would try to encourage her again. Let's get together. Let's have coffee, etc. That was a year ago. Well, I would say we're going on week four now of our weekly discipleship, and it has been amazing. She actually came to me, and this is what's so funny, is she said, I really need a mentor, and I really need to be discipled. And I can't think of anybody at the church that I would want to do that. Do you know anybody who would want to do that for me? And I said, well, yes, I do, actually. And I explained to her what the Lord had been speaking to me the last year and a half. And it was really funny because I said, listen, I want to make sure that this is something that is of God, not of me just trying to, you know, control the situation or whatever, because I saw the need. But I said, I want you to pray about it. And I want you to talk to your husband and pray with him about it. And then get back to me and let me know what the Lord said. And about a week later, she messaged me and she said, I really believe that the Lord is calling you to disciple me. And I said, okay. And so I said, it's on. When can you meet?
I love that you were seeking so hard to be obedient to something the Lord laid on your heart. And you were persistent. And you asked her to pray. Even like it would have been so tempting to say, yes, I'm in, let's go. But you paused and you said, I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk to your spouse about it. I want you to make sure that this is the direction the Lord is leading you in. So that's beautiful. So thank you for being so aware not to get ahead of him. It's so easy when we think we've got a clear direction from the Lord and we just you know, hit the gas pedal and go 75 miles an hour. And he's like, no, yeah, this is a leisurely drive. This is not yeah, a race. So thank you. I would love to know, what do you mm-hmm. want to tell someone who's a new women's ministry leader?
Well, in the beginning, I think you just need to give yourself a break. You need to spend a lot of time praying. You need to get really, really close to your pastor and pastoral staff and team so that you have their support. And make sure that you have a definitive budget in mind before you sit down with the budget team so that you are thinking through the whole year. How much money are you really going to need to be effective at, you know, paper costs money, speakers cost money, food costs money, all of those things. It's great to have, you know, this zeal and this zest and this desire to do all this wonderful stuff. But if you don't have a clear picture of a budget in mind, it can be very disheartening when they come back and tell you, you can't have X, Y, and Z. That's the one thing. And the next thing is, before you ask anybody to be on your team, you need to really get to know people and what their strengths and what their weaknesses are, so that when someone who, I'm just using this as an example, maybe they're a terrible cook, okay? Some people just cannot bake. They just make things and they don't taste good, whatever it is, right? And they say, well, I want to bake all the food for the women's ministry events. If you already know ahead of time that Sally Sue doesn't know how to make cheesecake very well and it tastes like paste, you don't want her making desserts for your ministry events. Or if you have somebody who says they know how to do floral arranging and then you just trust them at their word and then you show up in your floral arrangement. I mean, I'm using really ridiculous examples, but I think the most important thing is handpicking people on your team, because some people are just gifted at doing certain things and some people are not. Do not ever ask me to decorate for anything. Like, you'll be sorely disappointed. It is not my gifting. It's not something I should be doing. Just period, the end. That's it. And I think it's really important that you get to know people in the church, get to know the women, and then also making sure you're lining people up with things they enjoy doing, of course. But a lot of times people have giftings that they don't really even know about. And sometimes it's the quiet person in the back that might be a dynamic speaker that you just don't even realize because they never really say anything because nobody's ever asked them to. So I think it's important that you step back, get to know people, see what they are like, see what they're about, and then you go and handpick the people and ask them, would you consider serving in this capacity? I'd like you to pray about it, see where the Lord leads. And if he says no, that's okay. And also another thing is, keep your team small enough that it's manageable for the size of your church. Because I find that that's really important. Having 20 people on a ministry team for a church that might have 50 people is not really wise. So I guess just making sure that you have enough people to pick up the slack and kind of can cross over in different roles, that's important too. For me, I think the most important thing is you need to know their testimony and you need to know where they are spiritually and where they're walking with the Lord, because you don't want to put somebody who is a super immature Christian in a role that may or may not serve the church well, if that makes sense. I've learned over the last couple of years, you know, not that I'm pointing that out, those are not things that have happened in our church. I'm using like broad examples here with a very broad brush. But as far as, you know, letting people serve in a capacity that they're meant to serve in, that is so important. That would be my advice.
Wow, Angela, that was packed with so many good tips for leaders, especially new leaders. I appreciate that. Y'all, listen, she knows what she's talking about. It does make a difference when you prayerfully seek yes. out women to serve in a specific role. Is there a resource recommendation that you would like to share with other leaders?
I mean, honestly, Cindy, and I'm not saying this to toot your horn, but it's the Women's Ministry Toolbox. That has been an invaluable resource. And if anybody needs to be thinking about how to do fellowship events, that book that you just put out recently, the Rethinking Fellowship, those are the resources. I'm not saying that just because you're interviewing me. I'm saying it because those are my go-to things.
Oh, thank you.
And I know the women on my ministry team also go and use that so that when they come back with ideas, I know exactly where they got them from.
I love
and
it.
I'm like, oh, have you been on Cindy's website again? You know, it's funny because Jeannie, I know Jeannie does too. She listens to all the podcasts and everything.
Aww.
You know, her and I'll talk about that stuff. But there's also, I mean, I'll just Google stuff. And honestly, I don't want to sit here and say like I know everything because I certainly do not. But just looking at those resources and utilizing what you have already researched, used, utilized, and find what's helpful. It, honestly, you don't really need to just keep looking in a million different directions because if it's there, just utilize it. Honestly, that's what I do.
Oh, thank you.
Why reinvent the wheel?
I appreciate that. Well, that's my hope, is that y'all can find what you need. Not that you can't go other places and other people don't have great ideas, because they certainly do, but thank you. I will accept that compliment. I appreciate that very much. Angela, is there anything else you'd like to share with women's ministry leaders?
The only other thing I would add, and I guess this, it may or may not be important to some people, but because there is a lot of teaching that's out there that is not good, and a lot of teaching that is out there that is heretical, you have to be very mindful of choosing Bible studies when you're doing them, what resources you are going to use. And as a women's ministry leader, I feel like it is our responsibility to go the extra mile and have the due diligence to really, really dig deep about the people that you are recommending for any kind of resource, Bible study. In our church, you have to go through me before you're able to do any Bible studies, if they are a church-sanctioned Bible study. And then I will in turn go and explain to the person why they can or cannot use said resource. It's so important because honestly, there's a lot of junk out there and there's a lot of misquoting scripture and things. My encouragement to these ladies would be just be very diligent about what you're utilizing and what you're using in your women's ministry, Bible studies, events, and anything, because it matters. It really does matter.
Yeah. Absolutely. In full agreement with you, for sure. Ladies, I hope that you've enjoyed my conversation with Angela today. Angela, thank you so much for sharing your ministry journey with us today. It has been just a joy to reconnect with you, but it's also been so encouraging to hear the ways in which God is using you and how he's growing and shaping the women in your church.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women's Ministry Toolbox Podcast. Leading in women's ministry can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. You'll find support and ideas you can use in the Women's Ministry Toolbox Community Facebook group. We would love for you to join us. Search for us on Facebook or visit womensministrytoolbox.com/groups to access the link. May the grace of God carry you through difficult ministry seasons. May he direct your steps as you seek to make him known, and may your love for the Lord be apparent to every woman you serve.